Welcome to the meeting tonight of Regeneration Environment, Health and Wellbeing. I'm confused about that title, I think. So I'm going to straight away go over to Andrea to make an announcement. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Chairman. It's just to clarify about Zoom meetings and face-to-face meetings. Councillor Legg has requested, due to health condition, that she joins us via Zoom. The legislation currently doesn't allow us for virtual meetings to take place validly. So that would mean that Councillor Legg would not be able to vote on any decisions during the course of the meeting, and Councillor Legg would not count as part of the quorum for the meeting. So the legislation states that we still have to meet face-to-face as a quorum and to be able to vote on any decision items. Mm-hmm. But that helps everybody.
But she can comment on anything.
Of course.
Discuss it. Yeah.
Sorry, can I ask a question?
You can.
Does that attendance on Zoom count towards Councillor Legg's Councillor attendance record?
Yes, it does. Yeah. As long as she stays for the duration of the meeting.
Thank you.
So the constitution.
Okay, so item number one. Andrea, apologies for absence, please.
Sorry, Jack, I'm not aware of any apologies this evening.
Okay, I notice it's Councillor Beach.
Beach and Councillor Gray.
She hasn't, okay, that's fine. Okay, number two, we've all seen the agenda. Declarations of interest. Has anyone got any declarations of interest? Item number three, under Rule 12, urgent business. Andrea, are there any
urgent business, Jim?
Okay, item number four, public minutes of the meeting held on the 2nd of November. I'm sure we've all seen those minutes. I'm going to propose that we accept those minutes. Can I have a second, please? Councillor Hussain.
Sorry, Chairman, that's a question. I know we don't normally discuss minutes, but I might have a question.
Yes.
On the HS2 update, Victoria Roberts suggested that she would contact councillors outside the meeting. I don't know if she's contacted anybody else, but certainly I asked a question or two at the meeting about that contact from her. And if she hasn't, then perhaps we could contact her.
Chairman, through you. She did send responses and I forwarded those, but can we send that through?
If you wouldn't mind, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
That's fine. Yeah, thank you, Richard. Councillor Roberts. Okay, so again, I will propose to accept the minutes. I need a second for Councillor Hussain. Thank you. Raise hands, please, to in favour. Those against. And abstentions. Okay, that's carried. Thank you. Item number five, Councillor Walker, as in Paul, asked the question of an EDR 366/21 treat cold briefing. Councillor Bernard Peters, whose portfolio this is, of course, has supplied a response. Hopefully we've all seen that response. Councillor Walker, are you happy with that response, or would you want to ask any more questions on that?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Firstly, it's disappointing that Councillor Peters is not here with us. The answer to the question is not really, no. Because it still talks about £4,000 for a telephone outline that is capped. It talks about they've made provisions for 30 homes to be visited for an out-of-hours service. If there's money available, or if there's a budget there to provide that, it talks about that's 30 should be enough because that's what other authorities do. But I go back to what was said in the original report, and what it quite clearly said is that warmer homes, and I found it quite disturbing when we heard Monday our former owners were being championed and working with them, which fine, the charity, I don't know. But they said they could no longer subscribe and do business with authorities that hadn't been paying into to their charity or putting money into them because demand was increasing. And East Staffordshire was one of those authorities that they could no longer help out because it was quite evident that we hadn't been subscribing to them. So if demand is increasing, one, is £4,000 enough for a telephone out service? I don't know. Because then it's capped, and then there's 30 homes target. Again, it talks about if there's money there to provide it.
So, I'll ask you, would you like Councillor Peters to come in at the next meeting?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's worthwhile discussing, you know, where the funding's coming from, and is there going to be funded there?
Okay, is everyone happy with that? Councillor Allen?
Councillor Clark?
Sorry. Councillor Clark, yes, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. I just to echo Councillor Walker's comments. I do have a couple of subsequent questions as well based on the response. I think it is a bit disappointing that Councillor Peters couldn't be here tonight. So in the original EDR, it mentions that the service will no longer be provided to residents in East Staffordshire, but they're looking to extend the provision of the phone, the telephone service. So I think going back to the original EDR, if we could raise the question of what service is no longer available to residents and what does the EDR solve in regards to that, but then a couple of follow-up questions based on the response provided by Councillor Peters. In regards to the £4,000 that it's mentioned for the telephone service, which is capped, what is that, what in terms of numbers of residents that would be helped, does that £4,000 equate to? And do we feel that that is enough? And if not, when would we expect that to run out and the impact on residents that are missed? And then the to pick up on the point where it mentions around the 30 home visits, to ask a follow-up question on how that equates to residents. Is that multiple home visits for individual residents or 30 individual residents receiving visits, as well as it mentions there based on previous data they feel that will be enough. It would be useful to see that previous data in terms of what it looks like in terms of timeline for helping residents and if and when we would expect that those 30 home visits to be surpassed, if possible.
So I think really, what I'm getting is we will call Councillor Peters into our next meeting. Or certainly, in the future, definitely, hopefully, the next meeting. Anybody else want to speak on that? Just right, move on to the next item, which is the update from the Health and Care Overview Scrutiny Committee of Staffordshire County. Councillor Atkins.
Thanks, Chairman. I'm back on now. Thanks, Chairman. The meeting was at this month, actually, our latest one. Three items on the agenda. General practice access, urgent and emergency care for Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent, and then an update on home care, which is domiciliary care at home.
Is your mic up? Sorry, Councillor.
Yeah,
it is. I can't see it from here.
It's got a red light on. Sorry. Oh, it's got a red light there.
Okay, that's all right.
We're not connected or not. Oh, that's a red light. Shining red lights there. How about that? All of the slides that were shown are on the County Council website on healthcare. There's a bit of a difference between the GP access work that we're doing at the county level and the access that we'll be doing here. So once that January thing. And there was a mixed picture, I have to say. There's lots of figures available that you'll be able to see on the county website, the differences between patients seeing the GPs. I'm trying to be careful with the wording that I'm using because it's very evocative. There are some, there is, you know what, it's a matter about how you present the figures. There's about, there's just under 150 GP practices across Staffordshire and South Country. 14 engaging in how they're going to do things is not a very high figure. And there's some questions that I raised at the meeting about the ones that are very good at access. They seem to know, the clinical commissioning group seem to know which ones they are and the various reasons. And I know this isn't just one particular area, this is a story across Staffordshire, that there are some GP surgeries very difficult to access. So we were pressing them. I thought, and I think the one thing, Chairman, because you were there, the one thing we did get out of is that there is a change in the way people access primary care, or is happening. And for all the words that you may have about having more GPs, there are less. There are less GPs across Staffordshire taking out more surgeries, but you may not have the staff to go in. There's something about that, about how people access that as well. So some of it can be, a large proportion of the work could be done online or on the telephone. So there's a lot of questions about, well, where are we going? And I think what came out of it for me, Chairman, was that they haven't even started on the journey of explaining to the public about how GP care is going to change in the future, which leads me on to the next item on the agenda, which is urgent and emergency care access, which was brought to us by a different group. I've got to look at my notes and then I'll tell you if it wasn't brought in. NHS partners. So there were several on the screen. So they don't actually attend in the meeting. There's several on the screen. So you've got the hospitals, you've got the emergency ambulance service, you've got the different, the transport, the STP, integrated care system, and that, because they all recognise that there's, I asked them about it, where's the hazard, right, my background, hazard analytical critical control point. And they just said there's several, or there's many. So there's things, so the question about ambulance, people being in ambulance at hospital raised, people being discharged from hospital, the waiting times. I did question about the toxic ambulance station that was by the closure of the post, because they're not ambulance stations, they're just somewhere where they can go and have a cup of tea. At least bid up in his oxygen, it's freed up one more ambulance because of the time that they spent there. And there are so many ambulances, and it was, if you go and watch it, there's so many ambulances being held up at hospitals because they can't admit them into the hospital. And then there's a question about people once they're in hospital having social care packages to get out. And then this comes back to the GP access. Certain people are using 999. And interestingly, the ambulance service said that 20-year-olds are disproportionately more likely to use, I'm not getting the new app, more disproportionately to use 999 and want an ambulance to come out rather than older people who are a bit more reticent about it.
I wasn't sure of that, you know.
Yeah, it was interesting when we were coming out with it, amazing. So I think the other bit that I picked up was that the So there were representatives there from Derby Burton, the North Stoke, the Royal Stoke. And the Royal Stoke, which is possibly the biggest waiting times, is it a unique situation in the toll, in so much that it is, if they're working, the West Midlands Ambulance Service are working down in the West Midlands, they have a choice of hospitals. So if one's New Cross is busy, they can go to another one. Whereas the Royal Stoke, they've got no other, and it covers a really big area. And that is what the problem is. But it's really ahead in a new, so nationally it's really bad, but nationally it's also ahead of a new project that they've been trying out. And I've forgotten what it was called, Chairman. I was going to say six, but I know it's not. It was CGI. It was something like computer. Which which means that the ambulance goes out and the response times are really, really good. And you will see an ambulance now outside a house dealing with somebody either in the house or maybe dealing with them in the ambulance and then putting them back in the house, because they're trying to avoid people ending up in hospital or in delay, tied up in hospital. So they're nationally really ahead of that. On the social care programs coming out, they're quite ahead of that. They're trying to avoid people ending up in a care home, but trying to return them back home as quickly as possible. So there's an awful lot of work going on. But it is quite a critical stage. The middle winter for me is February the 14th. You know, they thought they were in the middle of it now, and said, no, it goes on a bit long. So there's a lot of work to be done on people being in hospital, and that's why the COVID and the Omicron is critical, although it is very few hospitalisations because of the way that it's spreading. That number of very small percentage of hospitalisations in a large number will put a lot of pressure onto the hospital service. And you know, as a result of that, you know, we yet again, you know, ask people to get vaccinated, get your booster, and if you haven't had a vaccination, get a vaccination. And it's all about reducing the pressure on the urgent and emergency care. The last item that we had was on home care. The NHS has given some money to domiciliary providers. I don't know whether they're giving it to the county council or anything, but the making additional payments to people who are caring for people in their home because of the work they've been doing over the past 12 months. I think it's recognition by the health service or some part of the health service, and I don't know which one bit it is because I've stopped calling them the National Health Service, but the health service, a part of it, have recognised that keeping people at home and looking for after them is far better than them ending up in hospital or a care home. As the chief executive Staffordshire says, he's never met anybody yet who's got a burning ambition to end up in a residential care home. I think that's my report. You were there as well, Chairman. So
was that at least?
You can add or subtract.
Well, there's a few things that I wasn't happy with in respect that. Waiting times for ambulances, I think that was a huge, from what I can remember, that was a huge issue, and unacceptable. But and you know, this is it's happening because of, you know, when they get to the ambulances get to the hospitals, they are then literally just waiting there to offload their patients and then get on to the next job. That's the fact. We've all seen this nationally, of course, as well. That was said as well. And I think someone did mention that, and I forget the gentleman's name, councillor, mentioned about the violence that some ambulance staff was also being subjected to, and also the operators, I think, the worked on that. So maybe you could just let us know all about that sort of thing.
There was a bit of a challenge about that. There was the receptionist at surgeries, and the abusive behaviour of patients. They were challenged a bit and said, you do have to remember that it's sheer frustration that drives people to that level. So it's a symptom of the frustration of not being able to access care in many instances. But there are others when they've been out on a Friday and Saturday night, when it's just absolutely wrong that they should be attacking emergency services. They've gone there to help.
As well, can I just point out as well, it was also mentioned the fact that people were calling 999, quite frankly, because they couldn't get to the GP. The GPs would have been, you know, they could have gone to the surgeries or the doctor could have come out, but this is not happening. So that was another issue, I think, from what I remember.
Yeah, I remember the West Midlands Ambulance Service representative said, understood at 3 o'clock in the morning, your GP surgery is not going to be open. So it might be from seven at night till six, but they're using them in the daytime when they can't access GP surgery.
Would anyone else like to ask Councillor Atkins a question? Councillor Hussain?
Thank you, Chair. I just would like to share a few observations here, actually. Could be our common frustration, especially with the elder social care. Although government was keen to raise money through the increasing income tax and national insurance, and what we've been told, most of the money is going through the NHS, nothing. Very little is coming to the elder social care. On the same token,
Councillor Hussain, can you just speak up a little bit so that everyone can hear? Because I know you were very close, but you know what I'm saying. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Sharing our frustrations about it could be, the cross-party and everyone's observation that national insurance, though all the government was increasing national insurance and the income tax as well, the very few amount of that increasing money is going to the adult social care. Most of the money is going to the NHS. And on a similar token, I'm a bit worried and concerned. If you see all statistics, then it shows that we are losing GPs. And then towns like us, or my own GP is struggling, general practitioners are struggling to recruit doctors. So I'm concerned whether the government will be able to honor their pledge to recruit more GPs or not. So the reason I would like to ask, one of our senior county councillors, and I have so many times under your leadership, though, that's why very happy memories. I would like to ask you, we got in our hands, we got 8 MPs. So they are our so-called member of parliament. So what are we doing to lobby with them to see any change, any realistic something coming from all the camp? And without anything, it's like doing our things, we can empty body surgery. Do you agree that time has come? They need to grasp their mantle and be backfield and give us what is needed.
Can we just keep the idea for East Staffordshire? That's what we sorted. Yeah. Spare that one line, please.
Want an answer?
Yes, he does.
The County Council Network and the Local Government Association are very much lobbying government about social care, and let's say there's two or three strands. One strand, Chairman, will be the cost and the cap, and there needs to be a cross-party dialogue. I think that's always been the position of the LGA on how social care is paid for, because at the moment, I think Julian Jessel told us that 60, I think it's increased actually, 68% of the expenditure of the county council is on social care for children and adults.
That's right, Chris. Can you just, you just mentioned Julian Jessel, Councillor Julian Jessel. What is she in charge of? Just as
she's adult care and health at the county council.
That's okay.
It is taking up more, it used to be a very small percentage, it's taking up more and more of the income of the council. And council tax was never devised to pay for social care. So it's something about contributions by individuals. And it spends a lot of time on the demo report, various other things and the debate and all of that. And I suppose the best way to describe it is that younger people, if somebody's young and we've got a child that's got some terrible affliction, that cost should not fall on the parent. That cost should fall on society because it's just been unfortunate. When you get to 40 plus and you're fit and healthy, you really ought to be thinking, and you've probably paid off your student loan a little bit, you should be thinking about, before then, about your pension, and you should be thinking about your old age and having them be part of an insurance scheme, which is what a pension is. I've heard people say that I'm never going to live that old, and now I'm meeting them and they're saying, I wish I put some money into a pension. The same thing happens to people. Now, we've got another issue about those who've embarked on the journey and whose house has been used as a charge has been put on the house towards their social care in a residential home. It's something that most people never come across until they are in that position. And the cap is £25,000. It's going to increase to £85,000. You can go into the details of it. But it has two quite different effects in different parts of the country because house prices vary. So they bring this to East Staffordshire level. So if you live in an area where most houses are £1 million, you can, in theory, could contribute down to £25,000. But the thing is, those contributions go to the county council to help pay for those who haven't got a house and have to be paid for. If you go to an area like Northumberland or Durham, where the average price of the house is about £140,000, you very rapidly get down to the £25,000 or the £85,000. And the contribution then isn't as much to the council. So in Durham, the council will be having to find more money, and in Kent, they will be having to find less. That's how it is. So people, the thought of those who already embarked on the journey in residential care is that they save money through their life, and that's their contribution to their care.
Thank you.
So it's one of the things as a county council, if you're in an important position, you get contacted by people who've got to sell their parents' house to pay for their care.
That's quite a national thing, isn't it, as well? And yes, it does happen in East Staffordshire. Well, just going to pick you up on what you said about everyone should be in pension. Well, you know, quite frankly, some people can't afford that. You know, I recognise that as chair of this scrutiny, not everyone can afford to put loads of money into a pension fund. And, you know, I think we have to be aware of that.
Yeah, as chair of the Staffordshire Local Government Pension Scheme, pension panel, and I'll always encourage people who work for the 45 odd organisations that are in it. It's a good scheme, you know, and it does pay when you get out of it. I don't want people declaring interest in pension schemes.
So, anyone else like to?
It's embarrassing.
Question, Councillor. Can we just try to keep this to sort of East Staffordshire and also, you know, not just county council business, as in, you know, so it's East Staffordshire with
East Staffordshire very much. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's very much as an East Staffordshire problem. This is, when I hear the horror stories sometimes over in Burton here of people not being able to get appointments at doctors, it shocked me. In Utopia, we've been very fortunate in the 38 years that I've lived there that you can get an appointment that day. What's going to be happening over the next few years is that our number of GPs may go down because the people that we have now have been on top. And they're finding it hard to recruit new doctors. It isn't money, it's working conditions and the way that doctors want to work now. So, you know, we're going to have a problem in years to come is to, are we going to have sufficient GPs in our areas? You know, the toxicity is one that could be highlighted there. So it's a national thing. That what are we going to do to encourage people to become GPs and replace the ones that are going to be retiring over the next 5 to 10 years? I know working practices have changed dramatically with COVID, and a lot of things are now just on the phone, and it does work very well. You know, I've experienced that myself over the last few months. But, you know, we had a visit from the West Midlands Albert Service, and they came and explained to us about the situation that you talked to, and I thoroughly understand exactly why we don't need an ambulance station there. And it isn't the ambulance service, they have 400 ambulances that are available every day. The staff are well trained, it's just that they're holding for the hospitals that's causing that. But I think, you know, we've got to be aware of that in the next 5 to 10 years, we need to be looking at how we're going to recruit GPs, particularly in my part of East and possibly other parts.
Thank you, Pastor. I will also just point out that we know that there's a lot of houses going up in all around, quite frankly. I also point out that regarding the Stretton surgery, people have to go across to Branston. Sorry,
that's
Councillor.
Right.
Away you go then. Sorry, Councillor Fillon.
Sorry, yes, I was just going to talk about the Stretton Medical Centre. It's barely open. And even though if you complain and say, am I not on your books? They say, yes, you are on our books. But to see a doctor, you need to go to Trent Meadows in Branston, which for people that do not drive or do not have a vehicle, that's a very long way to get to. There's no direct bus, it's quite expensive in a taxi, and a long way for people who feel ill. And there's houses going up all the time in Stretton, so more residents, no medical centre. I've had a lot of emails from residents who say that they ring day after day after day, and it's constantly engaged. And when you finally get through, you're told the appointments are gone, and that the medical centre is alleged to now only going to be open a couple of days a week for half a day. So, do you know, is there going to be a full-time medical centre in the near future in Stretton? I suspect the answer is no. And with more and more housing and no doctor and people having to travel, I know we're not the only ones, but it is quite bad at the moment. You can't even get a reply from them. They don't even inform patients of their intention. Thank you.
I don't know about the future. Of any individual, I think we need to take that up with the various I won't call it complaints. It's the various processes we have to go through, and they are in place. And then if that's inadequate, come back to this committee on screening and for the local GP access. then that evidence probably should go to the county ones a bit more than that. I think one of the things that, and there are varieties of access that, as Phil Hudson has said, and yet my area, you can't get into the GPS. It's shut. You queue outside in the rain. It's quite bad. Mainly because of ventilation in the building, apparently. So they've had 20-something months to sort that out. So whatever the physical problem is that they can't get in, why haven't they fixed the ventilation, let's say, or some means of going in and out? I suspect it's probably about the cost of disinfecting inside or cleaning. Could be something about that.
I think what Councillor Colonna was pointing out is the fact that, you know, Streatham is a huge area, as we all know, you know, councillors.
Has resulted in about 15 years, though.
It does have its own strength.
And what was it?
Now, going over to Branston. Of course, that's the take-up, of course, of people in Branston. So we have to understand that. You know, there's a lot of people, new houses going up in that area as well. So where are they going to go? And we do have an issue with that.
Well, I think there's a role that perhaps, you know, housekeeping can play in the future on the overview side, rather than looking at it being a bit more suggestive on ways forward. So, you know, the 111 line is quite good. They've got trained professionals at the back of that. You know, there's a generation that think we'll go to the GP. There's another generation that think 999. So there's 111. So if somebody on the end of that thinks you're seriously ill, they will ring the doctor. It's marvellous, actually. I've actually used it. We got into the GP, I couldn't. They did. And I got the medicine that we required. It wasn't for me. Within about 20, 30 minutes. So, and that's the problem. There isn't a decision to help people go through this process. And if resources like GPs take time to train, and there is an issue, for want of being sexist, when they altered GCSEs in 1990 for A stars, there are more, and it's a good thing, there's more women as doctors aged 40 now than men, but they want a lifestyle and they want to go part time.
That doesn't sort of alter the issues.
But there's also the thing about training people in social care. It should be a profession, not something that's, you know, and I know lots of caring people who, if it, you know, is a profession, it should be paid properly rather than viewed as something else. So there's something about that in local colleges, getting people into a profession of care, and then that makes life a lot easier as well. And I sat in this room and saw somebody who ended up as a registered state nurse, who started out as a cook in a local school in Burton. Because his daughter was there, and then when the daughter left school, she'd gone to work in a care home as a cook, ended up as a care worker, and the care home manager had said, "Have you ever thought about becoming a nurse or something like that?"
I know, I understand
what you're saying. So, you know,
I'll let you move on though, Councillor Atkins, if you don't mind. I'm about time. Councillor Grosvenor.
You know, I get really frustrated and a little bit surprised, to be honest. This is not critical of anybody around the table. But 20 years we've been told there's a problem with GP access, and there has been, we looked at it 20 years ago. 20 years we've been told social care is costing too much and we need to do something about it. And now we know people can't recruit GPs. When we've had visits, we've had discussions with responsible authorities in this scenario, in this forum, we've been told that A, they don't know where building houses, and B, even if they did know where building houses, they can't recruit GPs to build the GP services that they need to build to serve the houses that we're building. So we've been told that's a problem. And then we get told it's a problem, and then we get told people are using ambulance services at 999 because they can't access GPs. And we've been told it in such a way that it seems to be earth-shattering news, or it's such a surprise to people. And it's not earth-shattering news, and it's not a surprise to people, because we're always discussing it, and we discuss it regularly. And it's a problem. But I don't want, what I want to understand is, what are we going to do then? No, keep discussing it, and keep saying, oh, it's a problem, and we keep hearing about Stretton, and we should expect to catch the global, and we'll hear about Stretton again, and we'll comment that it's using Branston services, because it is using Branston services. And we were lucky enough to get a GP surgery in Branston 20 years ago. That's just what the work that the Health Scrutiny Committee did then, and I understand all that. But we are getting 3,500 answers in Branston. And there is going to be a problem with GP surgeries, because we know there is. So I'd like to understand what we're going to do with it, Councillor Atkin, to be honest with you. Not, you know, telling us there's a problem as if it's earth-shattering news. We all know there's a problem. We all know there's an issue with the County Council's budget with regards to adults for social care. We all know there is a large proportion of the County Council budget with no all respect to the world. You've been telling us for years when you were County Council leader. I've been at meetings as leaders of the Staffordshire authorities with you, and you've said it to Staffordshire leaders regularly. There's a problem with our budget. We've got a huge budget to pay for social care, and it's really a problem in years to come. We know that's an issue. We know it's a problem. I want solutions, I want results of problems, because I know it's a problem. There's a problem there for 20 years, and if nobody can provide a solution, I need to understand why we're all paying money to government authorities and local authorities to come up with a solution that they can't provide.
I'm just going to ask Councillor Walker to comment as well, and then Councillor Atkins, if you can answer both of these two questions. I think it was more of a statement, I think, from Councillor.
Yeah, well, apart from want to know an answer.
No, I think you deserve an answer, quite frankly. Yeah. But Councillor Walker, Louise. As
well. Thank you, Chair. I don't know if mine's really a question. Thank you, Chair. I don't know if mine's really a question. It's just some comments on some of the things that have gone on really tonight. I mean, I meet regularly with the CCG, along with a couple of other borough councillors, and we've been doing a lot of work with aura surgeries in Burton. One of them is my own surgery, Gordon Street, which has got a really bad reputation for everything it does, really. But, however, there are little, shall we say, glimmers, maybe of hope, that they are putting in, they've just recruited a pharmacist so that he can deal with people's drug issues, drug problems, and they don't have to go to the GP. They're just taking on an advanced care practitioner. This one's temporary, but they have advertised from the post. So again, an advanced nurse practitioner is trained in drugs and different bandages, different ointments that they can prescribe. So these are the things that maybe we are going to diversify in GP surgery, see more of. Because let's face it, if you were a trained GP, would you want to go into a nice rural practice, or would you want to come into a chronic area like Gordon Street surgery is a little bit off? I know which one I'd choose personally for the same money and the same facilities. The other thing is, I think with hospitals, a big backlog of ambulances, from my experience as a nurse, is a bit like Councillor Graham has just said, we knew people were retiring, we knew GPs were getting older. There was no GPs coming through so much. Again, the nurses in my era, they're retiring, they're not being replaced. So there's a massive skill loss there. I mean, I was trained to master's level, and that's gone now. You're getting the junior nurses. And also, they're happy to pay to go to university, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. We're in a crisis, and we're getting these people to pay for to train. I never had to pay for training. I got a little minimum wage until I qualified. Now, there's people coming through who've had the children, and they're in the 30s and 40s, think, I'd love to be a nurse, but I can't afford to lose my little bit of wage of the care system to then have to pay fees. So I think this really needs looking at. We need to get back to nurses being paid, to be on the ward, to be hands-on, and do the training like that. These are big issues. We could have some help with the doctors there. We could get waiting lists down if we've got some more advanced nurse practitioners on the ward. If we've got some more clinical nurse specialists on the ward, I think we could do a lot better. So I think there is a lot of work to do. I think the government have got to look at nurse training and also at GP provision and the different ways we can work with GPs to provide a better provision. And really, that's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Councillor Atkins.
Yeah, I haven't got any of the solutions, Richard.
Well, I realise you probably wouldn't have, but maybe, you know, I think Councillor Grover's points as well.
Yeah, I haven't got any of the solutions that Councillor Grover said. And that's been, this is a national thing, it's not just local. And but there are definitely, at the meeting on Monday, you could see a glimmer of there's something coming along different. But I don't think the NHS and the partners that were there have quite got their head around what the new future is going to be. But they have got an issue, and I think they're addressing it, because it was in the papers on page 97 and 98, of understanding how they're going to explain to the public how things are going to change. I quite agree with what Louise Walker said about nurses and having a degree. So my younger daughter is a nurse, and she says you can spot the difference between those with the degree and those who came in from a care side. She came in from the care side and did a degree. But, you know, it's, you can tell how long you can spot them a mile off, because they lack one thing, that's people handling skills. The GP situation has been exacerbated by, they are private and they own their own practices. And there's a number of them who wish to retire age 60 plus, who can't find younger GPs or in family practice who want to buy their share of the practice. As I said earlier, they've got other priorities in life. So there are people who are trained there. I was just talking to somebody today who's over 65, been approached to go back lorry driving. There are all sorts of jobs that people are stepping up to because they want to do something a bit easier. So there's a whole range of things around. I don't know what the solution is, Chairman. I'm not going to offer one because that's a bigger debate. But urgent treatment centres and working out what Burton needs so that people can get decent health care, which they are entitled to.
Then
tell the meeting there's some policies that the government may have to bring in. I mentioned the Finnish model at the meeting, which has been knocking around for quite a while. And that's quite simple. You're entitled to the same level of health care in Lapland as you are in downtown Helsinki. 20 years ago, they were using phones, that's why Nokia was so big out there, or they were, and using this sort of modern technology to get in touch with people to say this is what, you know, what my frostbitten toe looks like.
Yeah, I understand that, and I'm not going to go over the things that I've already said, but what I'm slightly concerned about is the fact that you've got people of a certain age. Yeah, they don't know about the technology. They haven't got the, you know, full into, well, they've got the internet, but they don't use it because, number one, they're a certain age. I'm sure everyone around this table, you know, is fine. But, you know, I know people that are, you know, sort of 80 yard and they haven't even got a mobile phone. They've only got their own phone, you know, the normal house phone. So how do you, it's really hard for someone to actually just, you know, get, I don't know, their 10-year-old in to come and take a picture of an ailment. They want to, well, we're going to go over it again anyway, I'm sure in the future. They want to see the doctor. And I know I've heard about this, that we've not got enough doctors, but that's a thing of whether it's county or whether it's government, I don't know. I'm sure it's both, actually. We need more doctors, and we have to get the training done. It's the same thing, I think, sometimes. And I'm sorry for going on, but I do.
Yeah, Jeremy, one of the things the NHS stress at meetings is you can always use pharmacies.
Indeed.
There's other ways, yeah. And that's part of their communication deficit. Yeah. Explaining to people the different ways you can access care. And I think they accept that people can't, not everybody can use smartphones.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just go to the easiest one, which is no.
Yeah. Anyway,
it ought to be 111.
Let's move on. Councillor Walker, yes.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I'll try and be quite quick, because there are a couple of genuine questions in here, but a couple of observations. Yeah, I'm glad Councillor Gordon brought up Stretton, because I was asked to bring that up tonight and what's going on down there, because we started with Gordon Street. It is getting quite bad across now, even as far as talking to people are struggling to get access to it. I fear for what's going to happen with GP access, because as we all know now, the government's told GPs to start sticking needles in everybody's arm. So there's going to be less access to it. That leads me on to the second point. Because GPs are busy sticking needles in people's arms, today again, it's the highest infection rate for God knows how long. It's 60,000-70,000 people been infected. So it is spreading across country. It is spreading through the county. Yes, I understand the need for people to get vaccinated and get a booster. I had mine on Sunday. And you talked to them, very efficient, very, very good. But in Burton, we still have a large East Asian community. Some people are still reluctant out there because this, obviously some people's first language is not particularly English. The information is not too good. What's going to happen regarding the testing regimes in these areas like Anglesey, like Shongnel, like Eton? Are we going to still see that happening? Violence against anybody in the workplace. I understand people's frustration, but violence in the workplace is a big no-no, whatever happens. Social care. We all know what needs to be done with social care. They need to be paid a decent wage and decent conditions in the workplace, and then you'll get people happy in that profession. It's as simple as that. And 111, I think I need to move that to the leafy suburbs, because over here, my experience is, especially with a nice 2-year-old father, you ring them up, you get to the documentary 4 hours later when you want them out, when you want to, somebody's come out 4 hours later, they're knocking on the door probably 9-10 o'clock at night when they're in bed. So I've not had too good of experience in that. And the last point, housing. Houses are going up everywhere. I've asked before, is it worthwhile getting the planners into this scrutiny committee, because the concerns of access to GP practices, because we've got the big new estate going up in Big Mill, Collins Street's under pressure. Where are they going to go? Stretton's under pressure. Well, Stretton is non-existent. They have to go to Branston. Gordon Street's under extreme pressure. Branston. So what do they consider when they say tick the box and say yes, we're going to put 2,000 houses here? You know, what do they look at?
Well, I will ask the, I think Andrew, can you make a note of that regarding ask one of the plans to come in?
I think there's a couple of questions in there somewhere.
There was definitely
plenty of screens.
I'm not going to ask Councillor Atkins to comment on that, and I think definitely though. We will definitely get one of the plans in. I must say, the BML development again is huge. Again, that's going to impact on Rolston and Tutbury as well, quite frankly.
I
know a lot of the people from Rolston go to Tutbury, and pharmacies as well. So I take your point on that. But I am going to move on, if that's okay with everyone. Thank you, Councillor Atkins, for answering those questions. Please take our concerns that you've heard tonight back to your committee chair, please. So, item number 7 is the scrutiny reviews, reports and updates, waste and recycling review and supporting and engaging communities review. Would you like to mentioned regarding the supporting and engaging communities?
Yes. We at the subgroup now are very close to finalising the report. We can all recall the early stages of the pandemic, the when the number of volunteers in community groups, everyone was willing to contribute, to get involved, and to become active. And that was reflected in the feedback we received from BACS and from Support Staffordshire, that they'd received a number of volunteers, a number of community groups willing to get involved. And what the subgroup have asked is to see whether or not that momentum has been maintained. So when we spoke to BACS in the year and Support Staffordshire in the year, they gave us some figures on the number of volunteers they've had and the number of community groups they've had. So it'd be interesting to see a few months later whether or not that momentum is maintained or if that's dropped off slightly. The subgroup has sort of come up with some recommendations. They are to have a member briefing with Support Staffordshire to make members aware what's involved and how councils can support. A regular item in the member briefing to highlight opportunities for volunteering. Sort of semi-regular volunteer forum where members and voluntary groups can meet to discuss volunteering opportunities and to review signposts and volunteer organisations on the council website. So the subgroup should hopefully meet in the first couple of weeks in January once we've received that information from Sports Staffordshire from BACS. And then I think we'll be in a position to finalise the report and to bring it to the next committee. Thank you.
Everyone happy with that? Does anyone want to ask any questions of Dan on that? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dan. Just as a point as well, the waste recycling review, I think you've probably seen the report that's been sent out. I'll ask if you don't want to accept the report now, because I also know there is a report from the scrutiny, the value for money and what have you. So, do you want to discuss it at the next meeting? And I would say so, because we've only just got one of the reports, quite frankly. So,
definitely. I've only seen it about an hour ago.
I think quite a few people have, so, that's okay. We'll do that then. That's okay. So, right, we'll move on to the next item then, which is, okay, corporate plan, item number 8.
So the purpose of this report is to provide an update on progress at the end of the second quarter of the corporate plan 2 years, achieving the community regeneration and environment and health wellbeing priorities set out in the council's corporate plan. So there are 129 indicators in total, and each target has been graded using the usual red, amber or green system. 102 are marked as green, 4 are amber, 1 is red, 21 are not yet due to be reported, and 1 has been deferred. So out of the 129 targets, 30 contribute towards the community regeneration priority, and of these 30 targets, 21 are green, 1 is amber, 0 are red, and 8 are not yet due to be reported. Of the 129 targets, 22 contribute to environment and health and wellbeing. Of these 22, 99 are green, 1 has been deferred, and 2 are not yet due to be reported. Full performance information on all the corporate indicators can be seen in Appendix 1. However, a summary of the percentage and number of performance indicators for each priority in each covered portfolio is shown at Table 2 at paragraph 5.4. Table 3 at paragraph 5.5 lists the target that has been given an amber status, and an update has been provided for this target. So, overall, another positive report for the priorities of this committee. I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you, Jack.
Does anyone want to ask Dan a question about that report? Oh, okay. Thank you, Dan. All right, we'll move on to the next item, which is item 9, which is the health scrutiny work programmes. Now, Councillor Clark. Yes, thank you.
Yep, so we are due to meet early in the new year to finalise a scoping paper, or to put together a scoping paper. What it would be useful if any members here have any specific examples they would like to raise for that, an email, either myself, or I'm sure either Councillor Walker's or Dan as well, on those to highlight those. I have gone back to the previous few meetings that we've had, and got notes from them, the issues that people have raised. But if there are any other instances, do let us know. And then hopefully for the next meeting, we should be able to share the scope of paper for the GP access.
Councillor Clark, just for everyone to know, who is on that So
it's going to myself, Councillor Paul Walker and Councillor Louise Walker.
Now, does anyone else want to go on that? I'd like to see four if I can, but if not, then three is quite good. Councillor Lark. Councillor Scott, will you include Councillor Lark? Now, originally, of course, Laura, Councillor, was going to be on in charge of the impact of COVID. Now, I'm aware that, you know, she's having difficulties in getting to meetings, quite frankly. And I think you're on it, Councillor McGarry, and Councillor Vicky Gould as well. So would you like to take to be chair of that, as in the group? I mean?
Yeah, I've got no problem in that chair. But just to let you know, as Councillor Clark's also mentioned, there is a meeting planned for the very early part of January, where we'll also be making the statement paper back to the next committee as well.
Right, and again, just for everyone, who is on that with you? I know Councillor Beach, obviously. But
so Councillor Beach is, and I know Councillor Gould is as well.
Okay. Yep, brilliant.
Oh, actually, my apologies if you're the first one.
Right, brilliant, okay.
Okay, that's brilliant. So hopefully then, at our next meeting, you'll have some more information on that. Yes, I will.
Sorry, Councillor Gould is no longer on this.
Oh, God, yes, sorry, apologies. Yes, you're right. So,
putting me on both of them.
No, I'm not actually. I will ask if there was anyone else who would like to go on it while we're, you know. Councillor Walker, yeah.
Yes, certainly. I've got no issue all Monday, because we both come from areas which have been impacted.
So, should Matt? Yeah. Try? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Brilliant. Thank you. We'll make a note of that, please, Andrea. So, and we'll do that. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 10, which is the public executive decision of record.